You are listening to Problems and Solutions on KFOR. A few months ago, I was contacted by Bob Deaton and Shane Burrish, who are with the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and asking me if we would help relay information about the many services they offer, which many people still do not know about. And that seemed like a perfect idea for a Problems and Solutions show, because if you have these problems, certainly they can be immense, but there are solutions available. And Counselor Shane Burrish is joining us in the studio this morning. Hi, Shane. I'm glad we finally made this work.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Kathy. I really appreciate the opportunity to meet you and to get our message out to folks all over Nebraska. So thank you.
We're happy to do it. And one of the things that we should tell our listeners first is a bit about you and what you have been through with your own blindness.
Sure. I was born 3 months premature. And I guess I'll be dating myself here, but in the mid-1970s. And at that time, of course, medical technology was such that in the incubation process and those kind of things, I remained in the hospital for those, 3 months and that I would have been in the womb. And in attempting to imitate, things like the administration of oxygen and breathing and things like that, there was a condition that some of us have from that time and even earlier than that, of course, called retinopathy of prematurity. And so essentially the fluctuation, particularly too much oxygen, tends to damage the retina, or kind of what's the back of the eye, and causing scar tissue, which then results in blindness. So when I was born, I think I weighed about 2 pounds and 6 ounces or so, which I always joke with people is kind of like my big toe now. At that time, I was totally blind in my left eye, had a little bit of residual vision in my right eye, so that as a youngster, I was able to use and learn print through particularly magnification devices. We have a set of those that are like televisions where you put materials underneath a camera, kind of like folks might remember it's sort of the same technology as the microfilm type thing, although in this case we're using regular size print and enlarging it so that a person with a visual impairment can read, and that technology is still employed today. But that's pretty much how I coped in my early childhood until I lost the remainder of my vision in high school, and then at that time I learned Braille, which I still use today.
And how marvelous that you have helped other people through your occupation as a counselor. How long have you been with the Nebraska Commission?
I have been there 11 years. I am a teacher by training, so I actually have certifications in Nebraska in teaching math, special education, and am a certified teacher of blind children. But I've been at the commission working with all age groups, because that's what we do there. We work with individuals from birth through death, and covering this entire southeast region of Nebraska is what I do, although we do have offices across the entire state. So,
well, during the time that since you were born in the 70s, you've certainly seen a lot of things change as far as opportunities that are available to people who are partially sighted or have totally lost their sight. And that's the reason we wanted to do this show today. Certainly people are blind or partially blind for many reasons, Shane, but you're seeing more and more people being diagnosed with age-related macular degeneration. And you were telling me, I believe the statistic you gave me was 1 in 4 of those over age 80 experience some serious eyesight different difficulties.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely correct. And it is something that we know is increasing. Folks often ask us why that is. And, of course, we're not medical personnel, so we may not have the latest information. But one of the things we know is that through medical technology, everyone is living longer. The life expectancy, keeps increasing. And so we believe that things like macular degeneration, which often set in beginning around 55, there are several forms of it that can happen earlier in life. But we know that one of the reasons that might be increasing now is that we live longer. So people often describe to me when I go to their home the story about how they don't know if they had blindness in their family before, but their uncle or their great aunt, came to live with them, or their grandma and grandpa, and they remember as a child them being blind. And although they didn't diagnose it as that then, we often suspect that that might have been something like macular degeneration, which takes your central vision There's a special part of the retina called the macula, which is in the center of vision. And so folks experiencing that often lose the detail vision. So they'll kind of think of themselves as still being sighted. And they, of course, are low vision or that kind of thing. But they often, it does impact their daily life because folks with macular degeneration can oftentimes no longer read or, again, see faces in public places. They'll say, someone came up to me and said hi, and I'm really frustrated because I didn't know who they were, and they probably thought I was ignoring them or whatever. So there are some real-life application things. We call it functional blindness is the definition we use at the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. So we don't really oftentimes look at necessarily if someone is legally blind yet, which we could go into later if you wanted to, but we look at a more functional definition. When I go out to visit somebody to know if they need our services, we ask them, is this impacting your daily life? So,
And I'm sure that you find that many people feel very isolated and alone as their vision is slipping away from them and they don't know where to turn or what to do about it.
Absolutely. You know, even though we just talked about how it's increasing, blindness and visual impairment is still an extremely low incidence disability. So most people will go through their life and never have a direct connection to someone who is blind or visually impaired. And therefore, you know, we kind of fly under the radar, if you will, of people even knowing about our agency or people, you know, often we learn through experience. So someone who does find themselves being blind or visually impaired, they won't necessarily know what to do about it because they don't really have a role model that they could have followed from before.
Yeah. So, when we return, we'll go through the steps with you. If somebody makes that first contact with you, what happens, what services are available, and all of that, okay?
Great. Thank you.
Shane Burrish, who is a counselor with the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, is our guest today on Problems and Solutions for the second half of our program. We'll have more to come. We're talking in this portion of Problems and Solutions about options for people who are partially visually impaired or those who have completely lost their sight with the help of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Shane Burrish is in the studio with us today. So if somebody makes that first contact with you, how does that go? They call the commission saying, I need help, and then you do what?
Well, we are, you know, we know how blindness can impact someone, so we bring the services to folks. So what typically would happen is we take down information over the phone, just some of the, you know, the logistical stuff, how we can find someone and, you know, their basic information. Then we take that referral, we would call it, and actually contact the person by phone or mail and ask them if they would like a home visit. And typically they do. So then an individual like myself would then go out to their home, spend an hour or so talking about the services that we have and then, you know, some other community-based services that they're also eligible for as a blind or visually impaired person. And then once we're able to discuss things and what's available, we can then go forward, if they so choose, and make a plan to begin, you know, some service delivery. If folks do not choose to do so, that's fine too. I always tell people I'm not the, you know, person that's going to keep pestering them all the time or anything like that. So people kind of, you know, people fear that sometimes in this sales culture and things. And so we definitely just want to get our message out to folks and explain it. And then if they choose not to use it at that time, you know, that is fine too. But we certainly, all of our services are free. People have been investing in them their entire lives through both state and federal tax dollars. And so if people do choose to work with us, we can do a number of teaching kinds of things in their home. All those lessons are free and we come to them. There's also a number of, you know, equipments and things that are available for individuals to adapt to the loss of vision.
So, when you talk about the equipment, Shane, is there a charge for that? Do you rent it? Do you borrow it? How does that work?
That really depends on an individual case basis. As I said, you know, we make an individualized plan for each person. So we don't look at anyone's means or anything. So certainly we do purchase equipment for people, particularly in employment type settings. That's another portion of our services we haven't even really touched on here today. But oftentimes, though, we're just kind of the catalyst that helps someone to, you know, help them pick out what they might need, and they go ahead and purchase things on their own too.
Okay. Well, one of the paragraphs in the letter that Bob Deaton originally sent me talks about all of the things that are available with great use of modern technology that people who are visually impaired may not know about, starting with signature signing, letter writing, check writing, envelope addressing guides, and then talk also about the raised markers on different appliances you might have in your home.
Sure. Well, the biggest thing here is kind of the paradigm shift in one's mind to how a person can interact with things without using their vision. Or in other words, how can we use our other senses to adapt to the environment? So, for example, the tactile markings you're referring to, we often can do on appliances like ovens, thermostats, assuming they're not digital, which more and more of them are today.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, you know, where you might use two indicators, like to set your oven at 350, you know, you're lining up two things visually. We can oftentimes, particularly if they still have a knob on there, we can put like a little rhinestone or a tactile daub of glue, something like that, on the knob and then on the back of the stove. And if you line those two up using your fingers, then we've done a couple of things. We've made you independent. We also see a lot of times where folks who have low vision are trying to lean over their ovens and things like that, or their burners, you know, to set them. And of course, that's, you know, very dangerous. So,
mm-hmm.
I did bring a set of these writing guides, which I'll leave with you, Kathy. That way, if anyone calls in after the show or anything, but you can see that they're essentially, you know, a tactile mm-hmm. way of staying within the lines. They're kind of a framework that you can put over a check or a piece of paper, that kind of thing, and then you can tactily follow along an edge of plastic.
Oh, that's excellent.
So.
Excellent. And you have a keyboard in front of you.
Yes, I have what is essentially like a PDA or someone's BlackBerry, that kind of thing. It's called a PacMate, and it has a regular keyboard, and I know everyone out there can't see this, but it also has at the bottom a Braille display. Which is refreshable. So there are little electromagnets that drive pins up and down, and we can scroll through an entire document like you would on a computer screen or a PDA, but we will have access to that in Braille.
Hmm.
It also does have a voice built into it, too, so we could listen to the documents as well.
Really, isn't that just fascinating? And I had no idea. You and I have been corresponding by email, and I did not know if you had sight or did not have sight. Certainly, I couldn't tell it from the emails that you sent me. Does that take you a longer time to do than it might somebody with sight, or have you just been doing it so long that you just dashed that off to me?
Yeah, it actually... it does not take any longer. We use programs, again, that read everything that's on the screen and speak it out loud. They're called screen readers. And we've actually done some testing because of the fact that we can get used to listening to the synthesized voice so quickly. We found that we can actually read documents on the computer faster than someone can scroll with a mouse, you know, as a sighted person. We've actually done some of that testing. So instead of the mouse, we use keyboard commands. I'll give you a quick example, like Control-P. We'll get you to print. Those are usually just built into the Windows operating system and stuff, so people, you know, do have access to those. They just typically don't know them. So actually, in many respects, we can be quicker with the computer-based technology.
Shane, we have a couple minutes here before our next break, and so I want to use this to the maximum to make sure that we convey whatever it is you want to convey. You have thousands of people now who are listening to you. What do you most want them to know about the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired?
Well, I've touched on several of them, and there's other things. The first point is simply something that someone might call more philosophical, and that is how one looks at the fact of their visual impairment or blindness. We know when something like that occurs now, which for most people is typically later on in their life. Now, we talked about my situation where I've always thought of myself as a blind or visually impaired person. That adjustment process is a little different. But for your typical listener out there today, if they are experiencing vision loss or they know someone, that's a fairly devastating thing. And so they need to know that they can expect to go through what they may be more familiar with as the grief process, the anger, the denial, those kind of things. But at the end of the day, what we want people to know is that blindness need not be the overall arching thing of your new or the rest of your life. So it can be you know, kind of reduced or put in the context of just one other part of you. But it takes a little while to get there. You need to have the opportunity to learn skills and acquire equipment like we talked about, which is where we come in at the Nebraska Commission for the Blind. And then you need to have the opportunity to be able to go out and prove yourself, you know. We often also work in the community to make sure that people have opportunities. If there's a senior out there, for example, that would still like to volunteer somewhere, we can go talk with that employer or that opportunity to make sure they know what the person's capable of. And we also, of course, educate the blind or visually impaired people themselves as to what their capabilities are.
It's just great to know all that you are doing. And when we return, we'll let people know how to make contact with you. Shane Burrish, our guest today from the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Our guest is Shane Burrish from the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. We have quite a large listening audience and a large listening area, Shane, with our KFOR station in Lincoln and also KJSK in Columbus. Where all are you officed?
We have offices across the state. There's one in Scotts Bluff, then North Platte, Kearney, Omaha, here in Lincoln, and for your Columbus listeners, it'd be up in Norfolk. So.
Okay. All righty. That's great to know. And could you give us the phone number and address of the Lincoln office?
Sure. The local phone number here in Lincoln is 471-2891. We're located at 4600 Valley Road, Suite 100. We do have a toll-free number for anyone in Nebraska that goes to the same switchboard. That's 877-809-2419.
877-809-2419. And your website?
It is ncbvi.ne.gov.
And we'll keep that here at the station if anybody needs that. Wish we weren't out of time. Shane Burrish, it's been a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for the great enlightenment today.
And thank you for the opportunity to get our message out.
And we appreciate all the good work that you and the other folks are doing at the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Thanks for joining us, listeners.